Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. What's up, Bob?
Hey, boys. How you doing tonight?
Feeling vindicated, feeling good on a Friday afternoon. Al's brother jamming me up. You don't really care about that, though. But
what did he jam you up on?
Well, he made me take the Jets last night, and they didn't cover the number. And then he convinced me that Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, was from Kraft Foods. And he's not.
Such an idiot here.
So, you know.
I think you jammed yourself up.
Yeah. I guess you're right. As Noodles pointed out, like, why am I just trusting whatever Al's brother has
to say? Just couldn't get the Google machine cooking in time.
No. It's a shame.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yes, and you probably thought that Kraft bought the Ottawa Senators, too.
Yes, I did. I will believe anything. I am quite gullible. That has become quite clear. What do you make of the World Junior Camp so far? I mean, they made their cuts, and I guess that's the team, is it not?
Bobby, the cuts, well, too. How do they look at these guys for 2 days and determine, like, is it already set up where they know the team or what? That's crazy.
Not entirely. It's a weird formula, but it's, I mean, when you've got a body of work of the whole season, or multiple years in some cases, versus 2 days, there are some guys come in and they don't have to do anything. They're on the team. There are some guys come in and they really need to step up and show something. And there's some guys that can play terrible and be fine. It's just the nature of the beast. It doesn't matter what you do. It's like, you know, going into the Hall of Fame. Some guys go in because of their playoff record. Some guys go in because they're accumulators. Some guys go in because they won major awards. There's 3, 4, 5 different avenues that you can be a Hall of Famer. Same thing when you're trying to make this team. And it, you know, 2 games seems unreasonable. And yet, you know, you're putting kids in a high-pressure environment where you're asking them, step up in these 2 games and show us what you got. And if you don't, you might not make the team. That's a lot of pressure. But so is playing in the World Junior Championship. So they want to see who reacts to that pressure and who doesn't. And yet, I can tell you, for example, I thought Alex Newhook was real good the first day. I didn't think anybody on Canada played particularly well the second day, but Newhook still had some energy. Colorado first rounder. But he's 18 years old, and he's been good this year at Boston College, but, you know, I thought he was really good. I thought he was better than Connor McMichael. Same age, same draft. And McMichael got drafted in the first round by Washington. But McMichael has shredded the OHL this year with the London Knights. And he's been, you know, almost a goal-a-game guy. And I didn't really notice him at all in the 2 games against the U Sports team. And in fact, he had a shootout and he's a fantastic shooter. Like, I've been watching this kid in the OHL this year and he shoots the puck a ton and he's really good. And he got a shootout attempt against U Sports and he couldn't have put it more dead center in the goalie's crest if he tried. It was like he was target practice for the logo on the front of the U Sports sweater. And he's on the team. And some people will say, well, Dale Hunter's his coach. No. He's on the team because over the course of this entire OHL season, he's been absolutely lights out. And so you can forgive the fact that he wasn't highly noticeable in a 2-game stretch. Whereas, you know, Newhook doesn't make it. And, you know, Colorado fans are saying, oh, he sounds like he played pretty well. Yeah, he did, but that's the way it goes. And so, and plus, putting a team together is like a jigsaw puzzle. You need different guys doing different things. So, you know, there's some guys there that didn't perform particularly well, but they've got a body of work or a skill set that they believe will be more useful come tournament time than somebody else who maybe played a little better than them in those 2 days.
Well, and the Hunters are the ones making the call, and they're OHL guys. It's not that they're not scouting or taking into consideration scouting from other spots, but, you know, maybe it was going to be this way anyway, but it seems to me like there's a lot of OHL players. And I think best case example is Jamie Drysdale, who's draft eligible defenseman. You don't see that very often, if at all. Draft eligible defenseman, but he's in the OHL and he's a great player. But yeah. I would guess they've probably seen him a lot. He's in the Western Conference in the right. O. And the
yeah, seen him enough where you're like, I can't not have him on the team.
I got to have him on.
I'll say 2 things to that. Number one, the one thing that is impressive is that Dale Hunter has watched game tape on every single player that was at that camp. Dale Hunter has watched multiple, I think at least 4 full games, maybe as many as 8 on some of these I was talking to some of the people who know Dale, and they said he's really unbelievably thrown himself into this project. So whether it was a Western League kid or a Quebec League kid or a college kid, Dale Hunter has seen an incredible amount of video on him. And what they did this year was, which has been different than in the past, is that Dale Hunter coached all six games in the CHL Russia series. So he was behind the bench when the WHL took on the Russians. He was behind the bench when the Quebec League took on the Russians. So that's number one. He's really gone out of his way, as has the whole coaching staff and management team, to really drill down on all these kids wherever they happen to come from. And as far as Drysdale goes, if you were from Outer Mongolia coaching this team and you watched those two games against U Sports, you would be like, oh my God, can this kid skate? And he gaps up and he's got no fear and he's smart and he's assertive. And this guy, in my mind, he had to be on the team. You couldn't not put him on the team. And same thing when I saw him play, I saw the OHL Russia game in Kitchener in November. And same deal. I'm watching him and Quinton Byfield, and I'm going, there's no chance these guys are not going to be on this team. They are two of the very best players on the ice. Doesn't matter if they're 17 years old or not. So
that's impressive.
Having said that, there's an extreme outside chance, and I say extreme because Nick Leddy's hurt. I don't think the New York Islanders are going to release Noah Dobson to be on Team Canada, but that decision won't be made until closer to December 19th. By Lou. And there's some speculation that if Dobson were to come back, perhaps Drysdale, being the younger guy, might be the odd man out. I'd be really disappointed if that happened, just because I think this Drysdale kid is really special. But, I mean, hey, he's a 17-year-old, but I just think sometimes you gotta let the big dogs run. And Byfield and Drysdale clearly demonstrated to me that they're as good or better than the other guys that are there, and they fully deserve to be on the team, even though they're younger than you would normally maybe consider taking to the World Juniors.
We have Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. We're talking to our buddy Jason Strudwick in the 4 p.m. hour about the Leaf-Oiler game tomorrow night. And it was brought to our attention online that they're still selling tickets for the game tomorrow night.
Which is crazy.
Unheard of for a Canadian matchup, let alone a Leaf game.
Yeah.
And apparently in Vancouver on Tuesday night, they were short like 600 tickets. Again, a Leaf game in Vancouver, unheard of. But they're not alone. Montreal's not selling out. Ottawa, we know what Ottawa's all about. I think the Leafs are still selling out. But at what point does this maybe get on your radar, Bob, where, you know, we got a bit of a ticket issue in the country?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of factors. In Edmonton, that Alberta economy is really tough. Let's not kid anybody here. And there's a lot of people that are really concerned about the economics, forget about hockey, just life economics in Alberta right now. And then secondarily to that, I mean, NHL tickets aren't cheap. And since they put the new rink in Edmonton, the prices certainly didn't go down. So there's sometimes price sensitivity there. I don't know the specifics of each marketplace well enough. It's a hell of a big building. I don't know if you've been in the new rink in Edmonton. It's ginormous. Gord Miller or Chris Cuthbert would be better to talk on this than anybody else, but I've only been in the press box once in whatever the name of that thing is. But I can't imagine being farther away from, I saw a WHL Russia game there a couple of years ago. In fact, if I remember correctly, it was the night that Trump was elected president of the United States. So it would have been 3 years ago, in November. And I'm in the press box and I couldn't read the names on the back. And my eyesight's not very good. I understand that, but I do have pretty good bifocals and I couldn't read the names on the back of the sweaters. It was so far away. It's another area code. 780 is the Edmonton area code. I think the press box is in the 403 area code.
Yeah.
Because it's far away. But anyways, I digress. I don't know the ins and outs of all the specifics, but I know the Alberta economy is really tough, and NHL tickets just by and large are getting more and more expensive. And I think sometimes that average guys are getting priced out of the market.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I don't think there's any doubt, let alone wanting to bring, you know, a family of four or something like that.
How many buddies do you have that have regular jobs that go to a family game for the Leaf game?
No, no parking, no plus kidding. All of that other stuff.
Yeah, it's way too much.
And the other thing is, if you've got a big rink like they have in Edmonton and you know that there are tickets available, you know, that's the other thing. It's supply and demand. It's human nature. You can't get a ticket for a game, you really want that ticket. What do you mean I can't get a ticket? I'm
right.
getting a ticket.
Yep.
I'll pay extra for that ticket. And then it's like, oh, yeah, there's 4,000 empty seats. And go, yeah, I'm going to watch the game on TV.
That does go a long way. You got to fake it to make it, almost.
Agreed.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, the Leafs have found a way to start losing in the third period instead of the first period. Is that progress for you, Bob? Or
I don't know. I can think of all sorts of games this year where they've done all three.
Yeah, true.
I can think of that Sunday night game in Chicago when they fell apart in the first period. I can think of the time in Washington when they fell apart in the second period. And I can think about that game against the Montreal Canadiens where they fell apart in the third period. So, you know, bingo. Take your pick. I mean, B-I-N-G-O, any one of the above will work. And the amazing thing of this one, I didn't watch the whole game, but I did see the first 3 minutes of the third period, and I guess that's all I needed to see. The amazing thing is just how quickly it all unraveled. I mean, even in some of those other games, they took 10, 12 minutes before they completely fell apart. So it's still an issue. Coach change, still an issue. And in this instance, you know, I was watching it all unfold, and I was going, imagine if the backup goalie was in tonight, what we'd be saying.
No kidding. Yeah, it would have been his fault.
Man, send that backup goalie to the minors. And this one was Freddie. And, you know, people would say, well, you know what? You need a save. But, you know, Freddie gets forgiveness because, and rightfully so, because they wouldn't be anywhere without him this year, and he's bailed them out so many times. But that was like bingo, bango, bongo, three in less than 3 minutes, and game over.
Yeah, it was ugly. Anyway, have a great weekend, Bob. We'll do it again early next week.
Awesome, boys. Have a great weekend. And, Dr. Fussell was wanting to know if you want to get any dental work done over the World Juniors there.
I've talked to Dr. Rene Fussell, and we're going to talk about that.
Is he a doctor?
Yeah, he is.
He's a dentist.
Is he actually?
He's actually a dentist.
Come on.
Maybe that's why they call him Dr. Fussell.
Maybe you could get some jibs.
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
They're quite expensive.
You should. You meet with them often. Mix in a new pair of jibs.
Next time we go to Switzerland with Gord Miller and Craig Button, I'll bring that up with Dr. Fussell.
Yeah, you could talk World Juniors, you could talk World Championships, you could talk jibs.
Yep.
Yeah, and his mustache.
It's a good mustache.
It's very good.
He has a very good mustache.
Yes, he does.
He was chirping the commissioner a little bit.
When?
I saw a quote online where he was talking about the Olympics, and, you know, he's saying that's Gary being Gary and not wanting to go, and Noodles is your research assistant there. He'll look it up online. It was pretty good.
Well, he's always got a jab for Bettman.
He always says that when I'm having lunch with him. That's Jerry being Jerry.
There you go, Bob. Put that one in the next insider training.
Have a good one, boys.
All right, yeah. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. I didn't know he was a dentist. How about that? What have we learned today?
What if he had terrible teeth?
Well, if you got a stash, you might be trying to hide something. I don't know.
I'd like to see his smile now. He better have a $1 million smile.
I don't think it's a lock that every dentist has great teeth.
But isn't it like you hear mechanics drive crappy cars that just run well?
Yeah, they know how to get through it.
Right, like they know how to, like, can you imagine?
Carpenters have unfinished basements with wood lying around everywhere. They just can't get it together.
Right. Roofers don't even have a roof.
What if Rene, Dr. Rene, had bad jibs?
He might. I mean,
I've never seen him riding 10 speeds to work.
I've never seen him smile.
It's not a prerequisite, right?
Well, it should be, though.
Although, here's the thing. Like, dentists, I know at dental school, they work on each other. Like, when they're trying to improve their skills. So, if you got a really bad rack of jibs, I'm sure you're, like, a hot item in the operating room.
Like, I want to work with that person.
I got to get that guy.
You're like the stunt dummy.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like you should be, if you're a personal trainer, you shouldn't be overweight.
But I guess why would it really matter if you're really motivational and you know the right stuff? You're right, though. You're in the gym all the time.
Right. Like you want to be selling something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that inspirational.
Oh, there he is. Oh, that's a decent rocket teeth.
Dr. René Fassau.
There he is.
All right.
Comme si, comme ça.
Actually, it is.
Jerry being Jerry.
but a handsome set of teeth.
Yeah, he's not a bad-looking guy over there, Dr. René Fassau.
Beautiful mustache.